Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved radio family. I appreciate you and I thank the Lord for you, and I welcome you as we share these next few moments together. A couple days ago, I began a message which I've entitled The Power of the Word. And I would just like very briefly to review a very important point I touched on as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close. And I'm referring to the words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them. This is just as he was preparing to ascend to his Father in heaven. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And as we think about what he literally said, we know that Jesus was very God and very man. He always had that authority and power in heaven. Why was it given to him now that he was leaving the earth? Because I would suggest to you that this authority was given because scriptures declare he was the firstborn from the dead. And as the Lord of the church, the head of the church, he was leaving his body, not his physical body. His physical body was ascending to heaven, but his corporate body, if you will, he was delegating that authority and power to them for the benefit of the church, that we could use this same authority and power to minister the gospel and to do those greater works that he said we would do. And this body of Christ was birthed into existence, if you will, on the day of Pentecost. And so Jesus, in a sense, would still be with us physically. He would be in this earth physically doing the same works that he did, as well as spiritually. And because we are members in particular of the body of Christ, and the church is a living spiritual organism in the earth today. Unfortunately, though, there have been various schools, if you will. There have been various denominations that have buried that all authority given to the church in its theology and creeds. Before Jesus went away, he gave us, if you will, his divine power of attorney to use his name. And through this divine power of attorney, we have access to that all power and authority. Some of you, in terms of your own life experiences, may be familiar with a durable power of attorney. If someone, for example, wants to make sure that their wishes are followed through in terms of their last estate or condition, if they're not able to make decisions, they let their express will and wishes be known and give to another person a power of attorney, that person has the right to act in their behalf because they're aware of what that person desires. Well, it's the same in terms of the spiritual connection, a relationship that I'm speaking to you of. Praise God that Jesus has given us that authority to use for his glory. Praise God. Jesus proclaimed in John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, and I'm reading the Amplified, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father, and I myself will grant whatever you may ask in my name, presenting all I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in or through the Son. Yes, I will do for you whatever you ask in my name, presenting all I am." Praise God. This is commanding power, beloved. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Holy Spirit, if you will, shows how they tapped that all power and authority and did exploits in the name of Jesus. And you know what, beloved? It's never changed. That all power is still available to those who will believe and who are consumed with His presence, those who are filled with the zeal of the Lord, who have a revelation of who Jesus is and what He wants to do in this hour. He's not a dead God. He's not someone that we can just look forward to meeting when we die and go into eternity. He's alive and active in our everyday lives if we will allow Him. You see, God has given us an amazing privilege. He's given us free will. He gave that to the angels. He suffered great heartache when they turned against Him, and also He did that with man. But He wants a loving free will relationship, and that's why He will not transgress our wills. He won't force us to do anything. For those who are His and those who have a call on their lives, He can arrange circumstances in such a way that we are willing to do His will, but He will not force us, because otherwise He'd just have robots. He doesn't want that. He wants our love given freely to Him. Praise God. And so this power and authority that He gave to His early church has never been withdrawn from the church. It's still available to us. And if we ever needed it, we need it now in this age and in this dark time in which we're living. Jesus said in Mark 16, 17, and 18, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues." He's speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "They shall take up serpents," referring to not handling snakes, but the ability to tread on, if you will, serpents and scorpions, demonic entities having power and authority over them. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." That talks of divine preservation. "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now that's the 16th chapter of Mark. And it's, as I said, verses 17 and 18, and I've had personal experience, and even, for example, I do try to read through the Bible every year, portions of every day. I have a Bible reading calendar I follow, and my Bible is the King James. I'm reading a wonderful version of the King James. A dear brother who's now with the Lord, a wonderful man of God, had great understanding and revelation for the Word of God. But unfortunately, he was of that belief, or of that denomination, if you will. I don't know what it's done, but he was very explicit that the power, the miracles, the authority that the early church had passed away with the apostolic age. And we have the Word of God, so we don't need any of that now. I can remember years ago, I may have shared this a time or two on the broadcast over the years, I was a very young Christian, and there was a dear relative who was near death, and I flew back to Michigan, where I grew up, to spend time there. And I was very new in the Lord, and I was so hungry, and I was on fire, and I thought I was going to dry up and blow away if I didn't get some Christian fellowship. So I went, and I actually made an appointment with a pastor of a denominational church in that small town. I won't say the denomination. And I sat there. I was just wanted to share. I just had to be with a Christian. And I remember he told me, I brought up Mark 16, and I talked, you know, about the miraculous signs that follow them that believe. And he very nicely and curtly informed me that was a later version of, that was added, that was not in the original, older version of the Bible. And even though at that point I really didn't know the Word of God, I did respect him. I didn't challenge him, but I knew he was wrong. And it wasn't until many years later, when I went to Bible college, I found out that of the 4,200 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, 680 of them contain the Gospel of Mark, and only two of them do not have those designated verses. All the Latin versions have that, and this was never questioned. Those scriptures were never questioned until the 4th century. So that shows you how the devil has crept into the church, well-meaning men of God, but they are draining the power from the Word of God. They say, well, that was for the apostolic age. That's not for today. But doesn't it say Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever? I mean, if he did that in his earthly existence, and if he delegated that authority to his church when he left, then shouldn't we be seeing that today? Well, beloved, we are. If you haven't seen it in your life, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But let me tell you, God is real, and he is a miracle-working God. That's why this Brother Glass always used that phrase, and I could continue to use it for years. You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and he's a miracle-working God. So think about this, beloved. What a mantle of authority he was giving. Elisha received the mantle of Elijah and a double portion of power. Jesus spoke these glorious words and went up into heaven. And Jesus states five things that would take place in the lives of believers. They would have divine power to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, given to everyone. That's not the gift of tongues, that is the prayer language that God gives to every believer, to take up serpents, not physical snakes, but power and authority over demonic entities. If they drink any deadly thing, it would not harm them. Supernatural divine protection. They would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These are five glorious manifestations that are to take place to those who believe. Jesus bestowed that authority on the church. The church was never intended to be a weak-kneed, whimpering, mealy-mouthed failure. When the church again allows God to clothe her with the garments of power, we're going to see the greatest move of God that we could ever envision. It's been prophesied. It's coming. Jesus is coming for a glorious church, and you and I, to whomsoever will believe, will walk in that same power and anointing. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I do hope you can be with me. If not, you can go to our website, and the broadcasts are archived there for several years. Just click on the broadcasts. Again, I extend an invitation for you to write, share your prayer needs. I love you. I thank God for your prayers, your financial help. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,